Do you have an ear to hear what thus saith the Word of God this morning? Amen. If you got your Bible, John, the 14th chapter, we'll read just a little bit, then I'm going to preach just a little bit. Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. Almost a full house in a brand new church. Amen. Thank the Lord. These are the words of Jesus. He said, if, everybody say if. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Amen. This comforter that he may abide with you forever. Amen. It's God's will for you to get the Holy Ghost and to keep it. Amen. Not get it and run away from it and back up and then go get it. But if God has his perfect will, you're going to get it and you're going to keep it. This is his description of the Comforter, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. He's looking at his disciples. And he's saying, you know who the Spirit of the truth is, for he dwelleth with you. Everybody say, he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Amen. He said, I'm walking with you, but there's coming a day that I'm going to be in you. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. Jesus said, I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. You know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Amen. I want to preach about Jesus in you. Amen. Jesus in you. Amen. Set your Bibles down and lift your hands to the Lord. Lift your voices to the Lord all across this house. Amen. We need the Holy Ghost to come into this place in a special way right now. God, we need you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, can you lift your voice in prayer? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. I want you to perform your perfect will in this house. God, we need you. Anoint us one more time, God. Come on, why don't you join with somebody if it's appropriate next to you? Pray with them right now in Jesus' name. God, help the one beside me right now. Oh, give them a word, God. Confirm something to them. God, let them see what they've never seen before. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, does anybody want more Jesus? Anybody want another touch from Jesus? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on now, in a way of worship, why don't you put your hands together for Jesus? Hallelujah, we love you. We praise you, God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. And then these musicians and singers do a wonderful job today. Amen. I appreciate them coming early and practicing. And even more than that, I appreciate them living the life that it takes to have an anointed praise and worship. Amen. We don't have to have the most talented. I believe we do, but I would keep the anointing. They could have everything else. Amen. The anointing is what's going to destroy and break the yoke of sin. Praise God. Well, as soon as we finish this January, every night of prayer, I believe it's the first Sunday in February, we are about to start at 3 o'clock in the afternoon a Spanish-speaking ministry. The Lord's been dealing with me about this for 2 years, 3 years, and it gets more and more powerful, and I'm Amen. I feel like I did when we started the church over in the basement at Westinghouse. I don't know how to do a Spanish work. We don't have the resources, the people. We don't have nothing. Amen. But I thought, Lord, if you keep dealing with me, if one Spanish speaking person shows up, amen, we're gonna have church anyway. Amen. Praise God. I don't want to wear people out, but I would like to say that you see everything that it takes to have a church service, people on these things, people back there on those things, people everywhere doing all kinds of stuff. It takes all them people to do a service. So if you would be interested in working in a Spanish service, even in rotation or whatever, if you will meet me tonight after church in the back hallway, we're going to have a meeting and do whatever. We're going to make something happen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And so I kind of feel like I did when we were having Sunday morning and my daughter was coming and playing. We had zero musicians. And the Lord dealt with me about having church on Sunday night. And I thought, well, she can't be here Sunday night. But the Lord kept dealing with me, so I just announced we're going to have church on Sunday night, starting Easter Sunday, and nobody knew how it was going to happen. But I knew the Lord wanted it. And so Easter Sunday morning, Sister Betty Van Esser came to the church, and Sister Leish and Brother Philip, and all of a sudden we had a band, and we had Sunday night church, and we've never looked back. Amen. I just believe God provides for everything he wants done. Amen. He's just looking for willing vessels. I'm not trying to make people go to three services or wear people out, but if you feel a burden and you want to help, amen, just meet me after church tonight. Praise God. I want to preach about, everybody say, Jesus in you. Amen. Do you know the reason he walked this earth wasn't so he could just see what it felt like to have a set of eyeballs and, amen, feel what it felt like to be a carpenter. I mean, that'd be a good excuse, but that ain't why he came. Amen. There was a purpose that Jesus came and walked on this earth. Amen. He was creating a plan. And that plan was that just like he went from spirit to man, manifest in the flesh, he was going to manifest again in the spirit. And he was going to dwell inside of his people. I want to tell you, there's an experience that's got to happen in your life. And it's called this wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And if you don't get it, amen, there's going to be nothing to pick you up out of this place. Amen. In a city, in a county, in a world that says you ain't got to do anything, I'm going to stand up flat-footed today and I'm going to preach the gospel. Amen. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. What are you talking about? You got to be born again. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Jesus said, without this born again experience, you cannot even see the kingdom of God. I don't want to just see it. I want to be right up in the middle of it. Amen. When the trumpet blows, I want to turn into a rocket. Amen. When time is over, amen, I want to spend the rest of my life with Jesus. Amen. But if we're going to do that, you're not just going to stumble through the gate and think, how on earth did I get here? How did I end up here? My Lord, there's a mansion right there. No, if you end up there, you're going to do it on purpose. You're going to make some commitments in your life. It's already quiet. We're going to make some changes in our life. We're going to let God cut some pieces out of our life. We're going to let God add some pieces to our life. Amen. I got my mind made up. I'm going to make it all the way to heaven. Somebody shout glory. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Another version would say, if you really love me, you will obey my commandments. Amen. This is what Jesus is looking at to determine whether people really love him or not. See, you can say, I love you, Jesus. Amen. But he listens to words probably about as much as I listen to words. I'm looking for fruit to back up words. And Jesus is looking for fruit to back up the words. When you say, I love you, Jesus, he's looking to say, are you obeying what I said? And if you're obeying and you're saying it, amen, this is the litmus test. Amen, if you love him, you're going to keep his commandments. Could I say it like this? This is his love language. Praise God. Don't tell me you love me. Show me. Woo! Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Amen. Don't say you love him and then back up on everything you've ever been taught. And say, I'm going to do it my way, and I don't think it takes all that, and blah, blah, blah. And amen. If you love him, just say, bless God. If the Bible said it, I'm going to do it. Well, why don't everybody clap your hands? Come on, if you love him, clap your hands. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Obedience is the love language of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so when you decide to live for God, you're going to figure out real quickly that it's kind of difficult to keep his commandments and make your flesh happy at the same time. Oh, yes. Amen. I'm going to slow down maybe. When you decide I'm going to live for God, you figure out real quick that it's kind of difficult to keep all his commandments and make your flesh happy at the same time. So there's got to be a decision be made. Am I here to make my flesh happy? Or am I here because I love him? Hey, if you ain't going to do it right, you might as well go fishing or something. You might as well go play golf or find some hobby or something if you ain't going to do it right. But if you're going to take the time to get ready and come to church and live for God, you might as well say, hey, I'm just going to do it like the book says. Hallelujah. Our flesh, you're going to figure out that it always wants to do just the opposite of what God wants you to do. Amen. I didn't like it when my pastor told me this, but he said, you can find the will of God by doing just the opposite of what you would like to do. I thought, don't talk to me like that. Amen. I lived a few years and I figured out you can just about find the will of God by doing just the opposite of what your flesh wants to do. Amen. I'm going to tell you, this is a battle that started in the garden. Amen. He said, you can eat of every tree. My Lord, we can do all kinds of stuff. Amen. But people get hung up on the one little thing or whatever that you feel like you can't do. Amen. You know what the flesh wants? It wants what it ain't supposed to have. Well, you ain't got to amen me. I prayed all day long. I tell you about the flesh. It wants whatever's illegal as opposed to what is legal. The flesh can have a wife, but it wants all the other ones. Well, let me turn around and preach a little while. The flesh can have a husband, but it wants all the other men in the church and on the job site. Let me tell you, I knew it was a spirit from hell. Many years ago, God showed me it was a spirit from hell. When, what was his name? He's a king now, but he was Prince Charles. Amen. He dumped Diana to marry Camille. Now, I wasn't even living for God, I don't think, but I could look at the pictures and think, you're a dummy. Amen. You know what? I've seen a lot of dummies in my life that had something wonderful, but they always wanted something that shouldn't have been theirs. That's what the flesh wants, is something illegal. The flesh wants the one thing that it's told it. Well, 1, 2, 3, 7, 12. Well, hallelujah. Come on, I'm going to preach to you a little while. Amen. This is how I was raised. I had a pastor that told me, you got to take your flesh by the nape of the neck, and you got to make it do what it don't want to do. Your flesh don't want to get out of bed on Sunday morning. Well, I got this problem and I got that problem. No, you got a flesh problem. Amen. And when you take your flesh by the nape of the neck and say, forsake not the assembling together of yourself. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. That ain't what I come to preach about, but amen. Praise God. There's going to be a day that has to arrive in your life where you take control of your flesh. And if you don't, there's basically very little hope that you'll ever be saved. If you cannot control your flesh, did you know that the very first commandment was a self-control commandment? Thou shalt not eat. You know what that is? Self-control. Why do you fast? Don't be judgmental. We don't fast because we're trying to lose 2 pounds. We fast because we're trying to control our flesh. If you can't control your tongue, you probably can't control anything else. He said, if your hand offend you, if your eye offend you, I'm trying to help somebody right now. Hell, when you make up your mind, the flesh is not going to send me to hell. That's the day you got on the blessed road. You got on the King's highway the day that you made up your mind. This flesh is not going to control me. Hey, if you can't scroll through Facebook without looking at things you shouldn't look at, hit delete. Amen. You know what that is? It's self-control. If you can't look at Instagram or YouTube or anything else without doing things you shouldn't do, hit delete. What are you doing? I'm teaching people that you got to get control of your own flesh. Come on, everybody, clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. A wonderful thing happens to people that make commitments. Amen. Get on an altar and say, I'm going to do this right. Jesus said, you're going to get a wonderful experience. Amen. He said, I'm going to pray and you're going to get something called the Comforter. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what our world needs? Our world needs a Comforter. Our world's messed up. Amen. The Comforter don't start with a T. And he won't be president on Monday. I thank God for who's going in, but he ain't the Comforter, I promise you. Amen. I feel like God's just giving us a little window of opportunity to save a few more people and reach a few more lost souls. Hallelujah. Well, everybody say the Comforter, that he may remain with you forever. Thank you, Jesus. You go down to the 26th verse, and Jesus would call this Comforter. He would call it the Holy Ghost. Everybody say it, the Holy Ghost. He would say in the 17th verse, he would call it the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be, everybody say, in you. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Another version would call it the Spirit of Truth, whom the world could not receive or could not welcome or could not take it into their heart. because they could not recognize him. He said, but you know him. You recognize him because he's living with you and he's going to be in you. Amen. Here's a very simple point that our whole world has missed. The Comforter, the Holy Ghost, is not a third person in a man-made Trinity. Matter of fact, I'll tell you, there wasn't one apostle that was Trinitarian. See, how can you say that? Because that false doctrine wasn't even created for 300 years after the Bible had already been written. If you began to talk to any of the apostles about a Trinity, they would look at you like you were fell off the turnip truck. Praise God. The Holy Ghost ain't a third person, but the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Jesus that wants to live on the inside of you. He said, I'm with you, but I shall be. Everybody say, in you. Praise God. The Holy Ghost is Jesus inside of you. You may think this is elementary, but I've talked to people been in church a long time and they get all mixed up. Amen. God was manifest in the flesh. When he was manifest in the flesh, he was called the Son of God. And the angel said that that baby would be named Jesus. Jesus was saying, John 5:43, I have come in my Father's name. So what is the name of the Father? Jesus. In John 14, he would say, the Father will send the Holy Ghost in. Jesus said, it's going to be in my name. Amen. What is the name of the Holy Ghost? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Somebody said, I don't believe that. I believe there's more. And let me tell you, if there was more, they wouldn't have any power. Because Jesus said, all power in heaven and in earth is given unto, he said, me. Aren't you glad you know who to pray to? I want to tell you why you think, well, this is very basic. Well, you better get the basics tied up and locked up. You better get it in your heart. There may be a day when they come in your house and take your Bible away. Take your Bible app away. Amen, because they're listening to you anyway. Why does it matter? I want to tell you, you can look at the history and see what happened when people didn't have the Word of God. When people didn't have a Bible, people would tell them what the Bible said. And they would exert authority over them and corrupt people would take advantage of people who were just innocent wanting to live for God somehow. And you know, there's people that are intimidated for the saints to read their Bibles. There's Pentecostal churches where they're intimidated and they don't want the people reading the Bible. They want to preach it. You know what? Maybe I'm lazier than other people. But I wish everybody would read the Bible every month. You talking about me having a little time to go down to the river and snag catfish every now and then. If everybody got the Bible down deep in their heart and let it be a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path. Hey. Amen. But this is what happened throughout what they would call the Dark Ages. And I'm just talking. Amen. There was not a way to reproduce the Bible. The papyrus paper was kind of expensive. And hieroglyphics are hard to read. Amen. But they had the Word, and it was just a few people, the priests. And amen. And then when the church started, and And it was the universal church. Amen. Because in the beginning there was just one church, and today there's still just one church. But anyway, that's a whole other sermon I'll preach later on. Amen. But the word, it was hard to put the word on paper. And so they just told people, if you'll bring me $1,500 for my cozy house, I'll forgive your sins. And if you'll bring me $15,000, I'll pray for your cousin that died lost, and he'll be saved. And people started believing garbage because they didn't have a Bible. Amen. Well, I want this down deep inside of you, where if they took everything that we got, they can't take our heart out. Amen. My heart, amen, knows that there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. There's one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Hey, I want it in your spirit. I want it in your innermost being. Where nobody can take it out of you. Amen. Lord, I got to preach. Jesus would call this comforter. He would call it the Holy Ghost. And then he would say, amen, you know it. Man, this is the scary part. He would say, the world cannot receive this. Why? He would say, because they can't see it. Well, I'm telling you, the Lord's been working me over. I've read this all my life, I think. He said, the world can't receive this. Because they can't see this. Can you imagine a blind man sitting right here today? And he was poor and he was homeless. And if we stacked money up as tall as he was right in front of him, he wouldn't pursue it. You know why he wouldn't pursue it? Because he can't see it. Well, I'm under a burden right now, and the enemy don't want me to preach this. They're driving up and down in front of our church every day, and they think our church is just like every other church. They've heard about the Holy Ghost, but they're not ever going to pursue it until they see they got to have it. You know, I'm going to preach, you got to have this. Amen. Don't ever get tired of hearing about the Holy Ghost, church. Don't become such a theologian that you can't handle one more service where I preach to people all across this room. You need the Holy Ghost. I want to preach what it is. I want to preach how you get it. I want to preach why you need it. Amen. And if people see it, they're going to come after it. Hallelujah. What a curse. The curse of spiritual blindness. People are sitting on pews all over the world today, and they don't see what we see. Amen. This internet thing, help me. Pray for me. It's like a double-edged sword. I hate it, and I love it. Whatever, I don't know. Amen. I wish my microphone would reach everybody in Arkansas. And I could preach, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But my microphone can't reach everywhere. Amen. But you know what? Yours can. Come on, if I just stir one person up to let you realize that we gotta show this to people. If they don't see it, they never gonna get it. Amen. People look at Pentecost and they think we're just some really strict orthodox flavor of Christianity that is so far from the truth. We're not a flavor. Unless original is a flavor. Because in the Bible, when the church started, they were in an upper room. They didn't know what was about to happen, but Jesus had just a little handful. He had fed 5,000, fed 4,000, done all kind of miracles. But when it came down to where the rubber meets the road, there was only 120 in an upper room. But it don't take a whole lot to produce a revival. It takes unity. It takes desire. And it takes faith. And 120 people in an upper room that were unified. Everybody say unify. I hope that went over right. That means where you love everybody. And where, you know what they were all doing? They were waiting for the promise. Why did you come to church today? I'm waiting for a promise. I'm waiting for a downpour. And they were all together in an upper room. And the Bible said on the day of Pentecost, praise God, the church was born. And the Holy Ghost came down upon that 120. The Bible said the sound was like a mighty rushing wind. How did we get to the point where people say, I think church ought to be real quiet? Dead church is quiet. But I'm not trying to have dead church. I'm trying to get people ready for the rapture. And you can't do that in quietness. My Bible said, cry aloud, spare not. What he's saying is, I want you to lift your voice, preach the gospel, tell them they got to have it. Praise God. The Bible said, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Everybody say they were all filled. All 120. Do you know the first church was all spirit-filled? Every one of them was spirit-filled. It wasn't a special gift for sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Can I just tell you what kind of church Jesus is coming back after? One just like he started. Hey, amen. A spirit-filled, Jesus' name baptized church. Hallelujah. And they all got the Holy Ghost, and the Bible said, and they all spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. You can't teach people how to speak in tongues. You can't manage people speaking in tongues. That's devilish is what that is. That's from hell is where that's from. Hey, amen. When you get the Holy Ghost, something's going to come down on you and you won't be able to speak in English anymore. It's going to be the power from on high. Hallelujah. They all, everybody say they all got the Holy Ghost. They all spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. But the problem was they were all Jews. That left me and you out. Amen. For 8 chapters, me and you were hopeless. But there was a good man named Cornelius that prayed always. Let me tell you, you ain't gonna get the Holy Ghost if you don't pray. Amen. He prayed and he gave alms. You're probably not gonna get it if you're a thief either. Well, it got quiet all of a sudden. He prayed and he gave alms. You know what he was doing? He was giving an offering to a God he really didn't even know. But faith will make you do stuff. So I guess somebody must have told him about the Holy Ghost or told him something or he had seen something. Saw it on YouTube. Something. He was praying to God. When he didn't have a chance. You're a Gentile. Praise God. I love it when God gives people a chance that shouldn't have a chance. Hallelujah. Hey, man, I love it when God reaches down. He's a Gentile. How's this going to work? You Jews that just got the Holy Ghost, you ain't allowed to go under the roof of a Gentile. Hey, man, you're supposed to hate people. Well, I did too, until I got the Holy Ghost. And when you get the Holy Ghost, God starts opening up your mind. People you used to be bitter at, you ain't bitter no more. Come on. Come on, God. When you get the Holy Ghost, you'll get a Joseph experience. You say, hey, brothers, don't worry about it. I know you wanted to kill me, but God was hooking me up. Amen. They both see visions and all this, and all of this happens. And Peter, who's a Jew, he don't even want to go. He's like Jonah. God has to say, come on, Simon. Peter, what I call clean, don't call it unclean no more. Oh, I feel like preaching. God's got to change people's mind to even make it where you can reach lost souls. Well, I don't think we all speak English. Why on earth would you want a Spanish church? I don't really want one. But there's something in my spirit that says I got a people that I'm wanting to save. Hey, man, I know you can't communicate with them. I know you don't speak their language. But you just do what I say, and I'm going to take care of the details. Boy, I feel you told him, I'll say, Simon Peter says, all right, here we go. He walks in that house, and he's looking around like I'm not even supposed to be here. That's the first thing he tells me. I ain't even supposed to be under your roof. He's got a problem, like I'm better than you. Thank you, Jesus. But when God gives you a mandate to do something, what are you going to do? Well, hopefully I'll just preach this little message and go back home, and nobody will know I hung out with the Gentiles today. Yeah. Let me tell you something. When God's in it, everybody's going to know. He said what you do in secret will be shouted from the rooftop, good, bad, ugly, immoral, moral. Well, it's getting quiet. Let God be the one. He's going to do it anyway. Amen. Amen. Did you know that social media has made it to the point where everything is done so everybody can see what you did? Amen. We're knocking on the door down. We're giving people food. Make sure the camera's set right. Amen. You're going to get your reward. It'll be 400 likes and 12 comments. Amen. If you're wanting likes and comments, amen, you're getting cheated. I want God to pour out the blessing. I want God to open the windows of heaven on me. Amen. I want him to see what I'm doing. Amen. And bless me because I'm being obedient to what he... So here, Simon Peter... He's at the house of the Gentiles, and he sneaks in. He's, I'm not even supposed to be here. But he just starts preaching. Well, he starts his sermon, preaches a little while, and then he doesn't even have to say at the end of the sermon, well, y'all come down front. Let's try to push it. Hopefully something will happen. Praise God. These people were hungry for the word. Amen. They weren't thinking about the crock pot. They were thinking about what was going to come down out of heaven. Amen. And while the preacher's preaching, they must have been locked in. I want a word. God done showed me something. God done told me to call this preacher to come to my house. And everything God does is on purpose. The Bible said while he was still preaching, that same Holy Ghost, 8 chapters ago that fell on the Jews, it fell down on the Gentiles. You know who was more shocked than the Gentiles? The Jews, who thought they were God's children and they were above everybody else. And they got to thinking, my Lord, these people got the Holy Ghost just like we did. How do you know they got the Holy Ghost? For we. It's not past tense. I don't think. I think it's present, ain't it? For we hear or heard. It don't matter. It's all good. Thinking, my Lord, God just did it for them. Just like he did it for us. What is the Holy Ghost? Let's do Hooked on Phonics. To the left. Jesus in you. Praise God. When the Jews on the day of Pentecost got the Holy Ghost, you know what they got? You know what it was accompanied by? Tongues. When the Gentiles got the Holy Ghost, you know what they got? How did the Jews know the Gentiles just got the Holy Ghost? For we hear or heard? Heard. Man, I hate it when I'm wrong. For we heard them speak with tongues. Praise God. You know what happens when you get the Holy Ghost? You're going to speak in tongues. It's not going to be Jimmy Swaggart teaching you how. Hallelujah. Something's going to happen to you. What is it? What is the Holy Ghost? I tell people this is how you get it. First of all, the man with the keys of the kingdom said you got to repent. Everybody say you got to repent. That means if you've got something in your life that ain't right, conflicting the word of God, you just make a commitment. God, I'm changing. I'm done. I'm turning. The word means you turn, like you used to be, you know, heading to the Hank Williams concert. And when you repent, you tear up the ticket and you go this way. If I could just explain it like that. You got to repent. Amen. Praise God. But then, you got to pray. This is the way I explain it to you. It's a depth in prayer you got to get to. It's not a shallow prayer. Amen. With your eyes open. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, you sure have whatever you've done. And you're texting and you're talking. All prayer is good. When I say thank you, Jesus, for this poppy seed chicken I'm about to eat when I get home, that's good prayer. But I'm talking about getting the Holy Ghost kind of prayer. Amen. I've seen hundreds, maybe thousands of people get the Holy Ghost over my long life. And every time I've ever seen it, they were deep in prayer. So if you think just closing your eyes or whatever, a moment of silence is going to make it happen, it ain't going to make it happen. I know people that were determined to make it happen like that, and they finally got to a point where they're like banging the floor or whatever. Whatever you got to do to get serious with God, to get to that level where you break through. Amen. But this is almost always the point where people get the Holy Ghost is when their will is broken. Do you know how to tell when a child's will is broken? Not when they're bowing up. You can tell when they break. Because their facial expressions change. They start crying, usually tears, and their body language changes. You can just feel it, you can see it, and you ain't got to beat them no more. All you wanted was them to understand who the boss is, but I'm not preaching about that either. But this is how I see people get the Holy Ghost, is when your will is broken inside. If somebody's sitting there all stoic, and you can pat their back for a minute, but unless you just need exercise or want to learn how to wash windows, or you might as well find somebody else to pray for. Amen. But when somebody is like pressing in and you can see a determination on their spirit and they got their mind made up, amen, they almost look mad like, I'm not leaving here till I get something. Amen. And they get Some of them are jumping and running, bang. I don't want to leave without it. And they're serious. Amen. That's when the Holy Ghost comes upon people. Amen. What is it? It's Jesus in you. I'm just going to preach for about 5 more minutes and maybe I'll. Amen. There was a wonderful day when the Jews got the Holy Ghost, they all spoke in tongues. It was a wonderful day when the Gentiles got the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. But then there was a guy that was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, whose name was John the Baptist, and he preached repentance. He baptized people into repentance, and these people were good people, and they'd repented, and they were living a good life and trying to do what John the Baptist had taught them. Just good people. Amen. But good people ain't going to get you into heaven. Being a good person don't get you through. Amen. Jesus gets, he's in charge. Amen. And he said, except you're born of the water and of the Spirit, you're not going to enter in. And so, amen, Paul is running around. They run into these people, disciples of John the Baptist, great people, great Christian people, I guess. I don't know what they are. Amen. And praise God. You know what good people need to hear? The gospel. But you know what question they need to hear? Good people. Amen. People sitting in dead church, you know what they need to hear? You know what believers need to hear? Well, I believe in Jesus. You know what they need to hear? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? I'm glad you're doing what you're doing, but has the Holy Ghost ever came upon you? Amen. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They said, we don't even know that there is a Holy Ghost. Amen. He said, well, what then were you baptized? Amen. When somebody's hungry, it don't take long to get there. What were you baptized into then? Well, we were baptized into John's baptism. We just repented and went down the water and got baptized. Well, that's great, but let me lead you further into truth. Let's go down into the water and let me baptize you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And then he laid his hands upon them. I don't know, nobody touching me. If you got the Holy Ghost and you got anointing, you're welcome to touch me. Amen. I want more of whatever, whoever. If a child's got an anointing on their life, I don't care if they pray for. I need all the blessings I can get. He laid his hands up on them, and the Bible said they received the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with tongues. I want to tell you, when you get the Holy Ghost, you're going to speak with other tongues. This is what the denominational world, give me about 5 more minutes. One more time. This is the problem with the denominational world. Amen. They don't preach repentance. They don't preach come out from among them and be ye separate. So nobody gets the Holy Ghost. And so when nobody gets the Holy Ghost and nobody speaks in tongues, they got to come up with their own way. So then they teach you a way. Here's a little manual. If you'll just say all the Japanese motorcycles real fast. Suzuki, Yamaha, Kawasaki, Honda. Real fast. What are you doing? I'm teaching dead church people. No. Do you understand their dilemma? They have no power because they don't preach the gospel. And so they try to make up a gospel. And they try to make up power. And they try to make up an experience. And they say, oh, will you read this little prayer? Praise God, I don't have anything. Will you repeat after me? Like they're doing vows at a wedding or something. I accept Christ as my personal Savior. I mean, praise God. Accepting Christ as your personal Savior and believing in your heart ain't going to get you saved. Amen. You got to do it until he accepts you. That's the big thing. Amen. Forget you accepting him. He's got to accept what you offer. And so that. They tell people, if you'll just read this sinner's prayer that Billy Graham wrote. The Apostle Billy. Good to have Brother Billy here. He was in the hospital Wednesday. God touched him. We love Brother Billy. I love everybody named Billy. but I don't let them all give me doctrine. Amen. Praise God. Brother Billy, the other brother Billy, amen, wrote this thing. Well, there was two of them. Billy Sunday wrote one of them. Billy Graham wrote another. And they were sinner's prayer. And they said, if you read this, you're forever saved. And people would read it and they say, praise God, Brother Robbie, you just got the Holy Ghost. And there was no evidence. And you got the same problems you walked in with. And you ain't got no power to overcome. What are they? They're making up something because they ain't got nothing. Amen. I hope somebody on the internet's listening to me right now. I hope everybody shares this and lets everybody in the world hear what I'm preaching right now. Amen. We don't want a watered down, fake, made up religion experience. I want Jesus in you. I want the power in you. I want something real to happen in every person that walks. Amen. Stand together with me. I didn't get to preach my stuff. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I want to tell you something. If you don't see this, you'll never pursue this. This is my prayer today. God, let a light bulb turn on. Take the scales off of people's eyes. My Bible said, if you ain't got the Spirit, you're none of His. You know what that means? If you ain't had this experience, much as you may think you belong to God, you don't. Your Pope or your Bishop or your whatever ain't smarter than that Bible. That Bible said, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, if it dwells in you, it'll quicken your mortal body. You know what that means? If you got the Holy Ghost, my friend, whether you go by the grave or you get raptured out of here, if you got the Spirit of God in you, you're going up. But if you don't, friend, there's nothing to pick you up with. God, I pray. I've heard people say, I've got Jesus in my heart. I say, well, how do you know you got Jesus in your heart? Well, I feel Him. You may feel Him because God is everywhere. The presence of God is in this room. You can feel Him in this room. But that don't mean He's in you. It was a sign. A sign was given. The sign was, they shall speak with other tongues. These signs shall follow them that believe. Well, I'm a believer. Well, are you a tongue talker? I'm not talking about just walk around talking in tongues, made up garbage. I'm talking about getting deep in the Spirit. You stirring it up and all of a sudden you're not talking in English anymore. Don't misunderstand me. Jesus said, marvel not that I say it. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Amen. This may be somebody's only opportunity for the light bulb to come on. Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth. The wind blows where it wants to. And you hear, everybody say, you hear the sound. Everybody say, you hear the sound. You don't know where it come from. You don't know where it's going, what Jesus said. And then he said this, so is everyone. Say everyone. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. See these hands? They'll never have blood on them. Because I'm going to preach the gospel unfettered. I want to tell you, if you've never spoken tongues, I wouldn't leave this house until I was in the Spirit speaking in tongues. If you've gone through dark places in your life and walked away from God, I wouldn't leave this out till I was speaking in tongues again. What are you talking about? I'm talking about making your calling and election sure, like that Bible says. Well, I just don't feel like I can get to that point anymore. Well, you better get to that point. You get to it just like you did the first time. You lay it all down. You got to make room. But I say you got to make some room. People's lives are full of children and this and that and school and friends and work and all. You know why Jesus was not born in that inn, that hotel in Bethlehem? Do you know why he wasn't born there? There was no room. Jesus requires space. Jesus requires room. And if you ain't willing to open some doors and kick some residents out of your heart, some garbage out, he'll go on down the road. He'll find a little stable somewhere and he'll bless a barn. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Wonder who will make a little room for him right now. Hallelujah. Open your mouth all across this house. I want people to pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus. Come on, we're going to just take a few moments. And I want everybody to make their calling and election sure.